Awesome. If you'll start making your way to Luke chapter 12 and Psalm chapter 2. I am not going to aim for 15 minutes, but I did purposely craft my notes such that it would only be 15 minutes. Unfortunately, one of the few traits I inherited from my father was my long-windedness. So it really doesn't matter how long I intend on going. I don't want to make it seem like I'm purposely trying to break a mold. My opinion is that the Holy Spirit only needs 5 to 10 minutes of genuine devotion to Him, and He can convict you of everything He needs to convict you of. So my intent in trying 15 minutes is purposely to trim out how much I talk, is really what my intent was in this little exercise. And I'll call it that. It really was an exercise. If anyone has listened to me on Wednesday night lately, it seems like I'm going longer on Wednesday nights as I go shorter on Sunday mornings. So, you know, if you're going to complain about how short it is, come on Wednesday night. If you're happy about how short it is, come on Wednesday night. See how that works? It's so wonderful. So we've been going through Luke, and we've done three verses already, specifically just a verse each time. The first one was, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy, or Son of David, have mercy on me. And we emphasized the need in the church for true, genuine repentance in that. And we immediately, the week after, we had three successive weeks, and right after that we discussed how Jesus corrected the Jewish idea that Mary was blessed because of her election, because of her calling, because of her promise, and that Jesus' response was not that Mary wasn't blessed, but that Mary was blessed because she obeyed the Word, and that the church needed to stop being a church that thought its blessing came from its baptism or from its church membership or from being born in the church, but that it was because, and it would only be because, it obeyed the Word. And then the third week we looked at how we were only supposed to view our works as that which God already demanded of us. That once we had fulfilled and satisfied every requirement that God had laid out for us, as if we had even done that, after we had done that, we were supposed to call ourselves worthless slaves, worthless servants, for we had done just what was expected of us. I really did not intend on ending on such a downer. This week will be a little bit better. And so just try and like fit them together somehow. Hopefully you're in Psalm 2. I'm going to read the entire chapter because it's a little too much for me to... Psalm 2. We're going to be in Luke 12 after the prayer. Before we get into the prayer, our Old Testament passage to correlate to Luke chapter 12 is Psalm chapter 2. We actually won't do anything in Psalm chapter 2, but read it in preparation for our prayer. Starting in verse 1, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. My Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your Word, Your incarnate Word, and the Word that You have preserved for us in written form, God, for us to study and to know You. God, we ask that as we encounter the words of Your Son, that they would challenge us to see past just the simple context it's in, but to apply it to every context of our lives. where the Savior's challenge meets us. God, that we would seek first your kingdom in every way, God. And that we would cease to do battle for our own kingdoms or cease to do battle for some religious kingdom. And we would learn to recognize your kingdom and learn to serve in your kingdom. All these things I ask in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, comes in a passage that is very well known to many of us. Starting up in verse 22, we have Jesus starting to tell his disciples in a lengthy use of imagery and symbols not to be anxious. Don't be anxious for this because of this. Don't be anxious for that because of that. God's got you covered. Verse 31 says, instead, seek His kingdom and these things will be added to you. That's why you don't need to be anxious. Seek the kingdom, everything else will be added to you. And it's as if Jesus knew exactly what the human response is after that. Well, how will I know if I'm seeking the kingdom? How will I know if I've been given the kingdom? How will I know if I'm living in the kingdom? And he responds with today's text, verse 32. Fear not, you little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus immediately, and I'm adding a little bit of my own context in this, I believe Jesus is responding to how a Jew would respond to hearing, seek first my kingdom. Jesus is Messiah. They've addressed him as Messiah. They know him as Messiah. And so when they hear the word kingdom, they're thinking earthly reign, earthly rule, the return of the temple, the return of sacrifice, the return of a proper Israel. And immediately in their minds, it's going to go into hyperdrive of, okay, how am I going to do this? What's it going to look like? What do I have to outpour? And the first words off of Jesus' mouth are, fear not. Fear not. Everything that you're becoming anxious for again, put aside. Everything I've just spent the last 6, 7, 8 verses reassuring you about, set aside. Don't even become anxious about the kingdom. Don't be anxious for your clothing. Don't be anxious for your food. Seek my kingdom. Don't be anxious for the kingdom. Let's cover all the bases here. Don't stress out about my kingdom. Fear not. And it's not a fear not because, you know, it's all going to work out in the end. No, it's already been given. The Father desires to give it. And who does He desire to give it to? He desires to give it to a little flock. Now, we have had plenty of discussions about sheep from this pulpit and from that area right there. Quite possibly the dumbest animals on the planet outside of humans. There wasn't much stretch in the symbolism from sheep to human beings. There really isn't at all. You little flock, not a big flock, a little flock, a little small group of dumb animals. What can they accomplish on their own? Death. What do they get on their own? Death. What are they anxious for? Food, shelter, place to sleep. And what can they provide for themselves? Nothing. A little flock. It's imperative to understand that when we get addressed by Jesus, Jesus is saying this to the disciples, but it resonates with us who have become His disciples. When He speaks to you, He does not speak to you as an individual who provides for themselves. You're a little flock. TOBC is a little flock. In case we need to be reminded about that, we're going to walk through this. What population this congregation has in the city of Austin? I'm not even thinking we would hit 0.0001%. It's what, 2 million people in the greater Austin metropolitan area? We are a tiny flock in the state, in our country, on our continent. on our world. And yet this little flock has heard from the Lord Jesus Himself, it's my Father's will to give you that kingdom. Don't fear. It doesn't matter how little you are. It doesn't matter how stupid you are. The Father's will is to just give you this kingdom. That's awesome. That's a blessing beyond blessing. For a Jew, that is unimaginable. They're still waiting for this kingdom. And we've been given it, this little flock. It'll be important to remember how little we are when we see how hard we strive for things we shouldn't be striving for. Jesus adds, "For it is your Father's good pleasure. It is my Father's good will." It's not the Father's mandatory need. He doesn't have to give this to us. He's not forced or required to by some obligation or contract. He desires to. He's a loving Father who gives freely. To a little flock, He gives freely. Why? Because He desires it. It brings Him great joy and pleasure. It pleases Him to give you this kingdom. You can start to see the hints of where I might be going when we step outside of this kingdom or try and fight for another kingdom. How displeasing it must be to the Father for Him to give us His kingdom and for us to ignore it and seek our own. Little flock, God is pleased to give you this kingdom. And that brings us to that final word, kingdom. And I've already begun discussion concerning how a Jew would view it. They were anticipating the return of the throne of David. The individual to sit on David's throne in an earthly manner, to reign over them as a king, to conquer their enemies, to no longer have war, to have peace on every side. No trials, no tribulations, nothing to be anxious for, because everything was provided. That's the kingdom that comes to a Jewish mind. Is that the kingdom Jesus provided? Is that the kingdom that Jesus says the Father's good pleasure is to give? This is a kingdom far more than an earthly reign. It was a kingdom far more than the mere satisfying of trials and tribulation and war. I think everyone who heard this, at least the 12, suffered some form of martyrdom within the next 70 years living under the Father's kingdom. That was not the kind of kingdom that Jesus was calling them to. He was calling them to a kingdom very much described in Psalm 2 as one where the Lord Jehovah in heaven laughs at the kings and the rulers on earth who try and plot in vain how they will control their kingdoms. This is a kingdom that establishes Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Father's Son. Psalm 2 says, "Today I have begotten you to reign with an iron rod, to break down the kingdoms of earth, not in physical form, but in spiritual form." And this is all very aware to us. But do we live like this? Do we live with the recognition that the kingdom Jesus Christ wants to give to this little flock is a spiritual kingdom? We are entering a very important election coming up that will affect the course of this nation. How many of us are going to strive for that kingdom? How many of us recognize that Jesus Christ reigns supreme no matter what occurs? How many of us recognize that Jesus Christ is going to reign supreme no matter how your 401k does or how the stock goes up and goes down? It's like a roller coaster. Jesus Christ reigns supreme. The Father's kingdom that He has given you conquers and stands over all of that. Do not be anxious. And yet, many of us will spend more time listening to talk radio and news radio leading up to 5 minutes in a voting booth than reading God's Scriptures. Many of us will spend more time listening to debates and discussions than hearing sermons. And most of us will spend more time talking to our coworkers about whether they're red or blue than whether they're covered in Jesus Christ's blood. Are you anxious for the world? Or are you working in God's kingdom? You are a little flock. Be honest, you will not have an impact on global politics, but the Lord's giving you something greater. You affect the world. Not in politics, not in economics, not in history, but in Christ. In Christ we are called to work in His kingdom. In Christ we are called to work in the Father's kingdom that He has already given us. And I pray that you will not find yourself swept away into being anxious for another kingdom. Whether it be in your home, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be in your city, state, country, wherever. Fear not, you little group of insignificant people. The Lord has really significant things for you to do. In your weakness, you are made strong. In your lack of ability to change things, you change things. In your lack of importance, you're most important. In God's kingdom, when you serve Him, you crush nations. When you serve the Messiah, you reign with Him. And He desires to give this to you. Don't be anxious. Do not be distracted by the things of the world. You miss serving in a greater kingdom. If you'll pray with me.